My dear brothers and sisters, for the next 3 weeks, we are going to hear the gospel reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. It's one of the very significant passages or chapters for us as Catholics, because this chapter 6 is really called the Bread of Life discourse, and right at the outset, you know what that means, the connection to the Eucharist, right? And so because it is so important, the Church takes its time to read and reflect and understand the meaning of the Bread of Life discourse. Now, readings that are stretched out over the weekends gives us the opportunity to explore these passages with great depth. And that's what I'm hoping to do in the next 3 weeks. I'm not saying that I'll be here for all the masses, but if you follow me either on Twitter or Facebook, or you will or on the internet, you will have these homilies if you want to follow them over the next 3 weeks. So because I'm dealing with this passage in depth, pardon me if I'm going to delve right into my 3 points, my 3 practical implications today, okay? But let me also caution you that my 3 practical implications raise more questions than answer them. I'm going to send you home with 3 things to really think about this week. And they are significant questions. So first of all, I want to talk about being a pilgrim people, a people on the move. And why am I saying this? Because both the first reading from Exodus and the gospel reading from John have a common theme. They speak to a people on the move. So the first reading from Exodus, for example, tells us the story of a people who have been very recently set free. Very recently. After more than 200 years of slavery, the people made a grueling journey through the desert. It lasted for 40 years. And what's the reason for this journey? 3 reasons. First, they were a rebellious people. Today's first reading, the very first sentence, the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And so God looks at this people and says, this is a stiff-necked people, a rebellious people. And so Numbers 14:29 tells us that God cursed them with 40 years of wandering until the rebellious and the unbelieving generation died off. So the generation that was actually set free is not the generation that entered the promised land. It's like God wanted a new beginning in the promised land. That's the first reason. There are 2 other reasons. You see, nation building is a very complicated and lengthy task. America got its independence in 1776, right? How many years we are still figuring out what it means to be a nation? If this whole Confederate flag and American flag is an issue, we're still figuring out who we are as Americans. Those of us who followed the war in Iraq, you know how complicated that has been, the whole task of nation building. Similar thing is happening to the people of Israel after 200 years of slavery. Leadership has to emerge, social structures have to be established, and laws that guide individuals, family, and society have to develop. It takes time. But the 3rd reason is also very significant. This time in the desert that the people of Israel have with God was really supposed to be a time when they will really come to know and love God. These 40 years were supposed to be kind of a honeymoon period for this nation. But if today's readings are any indication, that honeymoon period did not go very well. People were rebellious. They were questioning God. They were questioning Moses and Aaron. Now, this is exactly the same kind of unbelief that Jesus encounters in the gospel reading. As Jesus tries to take the people from slavery to the law, to freedom to love, that's the movement that Jesus is creating, he faces disbelief and rebellion. Now, we look at the people of the biblical times, and we look at ourselves and we say, we are not like them, right? We are a civilized nation. We are a cultured people. We are smart with our smartphones, our gadgets, our technology, our knowledge. We think, poor people in those times, we have arrived. Let's look a little deeply. So think about these things. When it comes to relations between nations, how long did it take for us to normalize relationship between Cuba and the United States? When we look at relations between nations and races and classes, when it comes to poverty, hunger, injustice, human rights, when it comes to gender equality, respecting the dignity of every human person, life and death issues, when it comes to relationship between religions, faith, God, how long more do we have to go? It's like we're a people on the move because I don't think we've arrived yet. It takes humility to realize that just like the biblical people, we are also a people on the move. And that is why Vatican II calls the church a pilgrim church. So here's the first question I want to think about when you go home this week. Are we any less rebellious than the people of the biblical times? Do you think we've arrived? Or are we also rebelling because we haven't accomplished the kind of things that God would like us to accomplish as a human people or as the church? So that's the first question. Secondly, I want to reflect with you a little bit about what I call spiritual dementia. Okay? Today's first reading begins with the rebellion of the Israelites against Moses and Aaron. And I have always wondered, these people who saw all these mighty works and miracles in Egypt for them to be set free, and this people that has just noticed the parting of the Red Sea, how could they so quickly forget what has happened and rebel against Moses and Aaron? Think about the gospel reading. Last week we heard the story of Jesus multiplying the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Some of these people were present when Jesus was talking to them in today's gospel reading, and they said to Jesus, give us a sign. What sign do they need more than multiplication of 5 loaves and 2 fish? So the question that I ask is, how could these people forget these great works and be rebellious and raise questions? So as I wondered about this question, I found the answer to this question in my own life. I can look back at numerous instances in my life where God has done marvelous things. Marvelous things. In spite of this, there are so many situations where my confidence in God could be so much better. Now, many of you know this, the single most issue in my life is my parents. That's the predominant. If you want to know what I am most anxious about in my life, it's my parents. I worry about their health. I worry about their well-being. I worry about their future. I worry about the eventual passing away. Today is my mother's birthday. I spoke to her for hours. worrying about, Mom, I'm so far away, you know, and we spoke and we laughed and we cried. Now, if the past is any indication, honestly, God has been great with my parents and I. God has done marvelous things for us. And really, I should not worry, but I do. That's what I call spiritual dementia. As I look back at my life, I need to be so grateful to God and have so much confidence in a God, but when I look to the future, somehow I forget this. Spiritual dementia. So what the people of Israel did, or the people at the time of Jesus did, is not very different than what I'm doing today. But there are other examples. How many people will walk into a confessional, receive God's mercy, and forget that we are ourselves a forgiven people but condemn other people? Spiritual dementia. Jesus died for us, and yet we forget to pray, to read scripture, to give thanks to God, to do good, to be self-sacrificing. How can we forget this? Spiritual dementia. So here is my second question to you. Do you and I suffer from what we call spiritual dementia? How quickly do we forget the past and worry about the future? Second question. Thirdly, what will it take to believe? I'm going to share a very funny story with you. This is a real story. I didn't make this up. A great-grandmother told me the story about her 5-year-old great-grandson. This 5-year-old was traveling with her great-grandma, and she was talking to him about religious things and, you know, trying to instill some faith in this little kid. And the topic was guardian angels. And the great-grandma was trying to tell this little boy how he has a guardian angel who protects him. So this 5-year-old was not only puzzled, but he told his great-grandma that he did not need a guardian angel. And she asked him why. He says, "I can take care of myself. I am ninja." Right? In one sense, it's very funny. Quite in another sense, I know these parents very well, and I know they're church-going parents. I know they will do their best to teach this child their ways of faith. But can you imagine the task ahead? We have two parents here with little babies in their hands, and right now they are so harmless, so cute, and so loving. Boy, do you have a challenge in your hands. Especially with regards to faith. This is what I believe. The faith that we have is very different from the faith that this younger generation will have. And the reason I raise the question of faith is because in John's gospel, the primary reason for him writing the gospel is so that people may believe in Jesus. What is Jesus saying in his gospel reading? This is the work of God, that you may come to believe in the one whom he has sent. And that's Jesus. And people did not believe. So the question is, what will be the faith of this child? What will be the faith of this child? How will they get the faith that you have today? What are the chances your child will say, "I don't need God. I am ninja. I can take care of myself"? What are the chances? Very real. The faith of the future generation is not the faith we have. And I don't have the answers to the questions, except this week, reflect upon these questions I'm raising to you. What does your faith look like, parents? How do you live it out? Is our faith visible to people because of our compassion or our condemnation? How do people know that we are a believing people? How do people see Christ in us? When people see our faith, are they attracted to us or do they want to run away from us? What will our children, your children, learn from you about Jesus Christ? I don't have the answers, but it's a question that we need to think about. So I've raised three questions to you today. Are we any less rebellious than the people of Israel? Do we suffer from spiritual dementia? And thirdly, what does our faith in Jesus Christ look like? I hope you take the time this weekend to reflect on these questions. Meanwhile, Jesus, the bread of life, is present right here. This is the work of God, that you believe in the one that He has sent. As we participate in the bread of life, as we become one with this Christ, may our faith be strong, and may we be the kind of people that God wants us to be. People of God said,